You're listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday evening, December 16th. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, Overcoming Grief, Guilt, and Grudges.
Take your Bible, please. Go back to 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. If you want the 1 Samuel just a moment ago, it's because of me. Now, if you go to 2 Samuel, it'll be because of me. And 2 Samuel chapter 12, you'll like the way this one reads a little bit better. 2 Samuel chapter 12, looking at verse 15. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child, watch it, that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. I said this morning, as I preached about how to heal wounds, as we talked about what happened in Connecticut. I bore my heart this morning about that very issue. Tonight, I want us to look at some things a little bit differently, because after there is wounds, there has to come some grieving time. And after there's some wounds, sometimes people suffer guilt, and sometimes people even become begrudging, if you will. And that's with every type of circumstance that a person goes through. And I want us to notice some things tonight, if you will. I want us to understand that first we move from guilt and grief and grudges. In order to be able to respond properly, you have to face the pain. You just have to. Doesn't matter what you're going through that causes guilt. Doesn't matter what you're going through that causes grief. Doesn't matter what you're going through that causes you to want to have a grudge, you've got to face the pain. After you face the pain, you're going to find out this, that there has to be some type of response to God. There has to be. You can't just sit down in the pain. The matter of fact, the Bible says in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, doesn't say you're supposed to sit in the valley of the shadow of death, nor does it say you're supposed to run through the valley of the shadow of death. God says you're supposed to walk. That's a patient walk so that you can understand what God is doing as you're walking through your valley. Then third, you see that as we move from responding to God, then God gives us opportunities to be able to use those opportunities for his good, for his pleasure, if you will. Matter of fact, the Bible says over in the book of Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So the Bible talks about how comfort comes after the mourning process. Now, let me give you some things to think about this evening, if I can, about dealing with guilt and about dealing with grief and about dealing with grudges, because I don't care who you are tonight. There's going to be a time in your life when you're going to face some of these very same things in your own heart and your own life. So how is it tonight that we can deal with these particular things? Now, by the way, people deal with guilt, they deal with grief, they deal with grudges differently. Some people will deal with them in a very dramatic way, while other people would deal with them in a very monotone type of way, but they need to be dealt with. And let's understand tonight what the Bible says about dealing with them to be able to help us tonight. 2 Samuel chapter 12, and in verse 16, the Bible says, David therefore besought God for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. Now watch this in verse 17. And the elders of his house arose and went unto him to raise him up from the earth. And he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. Look in verse 18. The Bible says, and it came to pass in the seventh day that the child died, and the servants, watch it now, and the servants of David feared to tell him. Now, I want you to understand this. Statement number one, don't hold the guilt and the grief and the grudges all by yourself. Here's what the Bible talks about here. The Bible talks about how David besought the Lord. There's nobody in here tonight that can hold guilt, and there's nobody in here tonight that can hold grief, and there's nobody in here tonight that can hold a grudge, and rightfully so, hold it all by yourself. self. I remember when Dr. May Sr. Had gone home to be with the Lord, and I stood beside Brother and Mrs. May, and I remember him and I hugging and embracing, and I remember when Brother Bryant went home to be with the Lord, and I remember hugging and embracing the family, and I remember Brother Terrell coming up, and Brother Terrell was, Brother Terrell's a big fella. I mean, he's just a big fella. But I remember Brother Terrell coming up, and I watched that back go up and down, up and down, up and down, as remorse and as hurt pierced deep into the heart. And I remember doing the best I could to pat him on the back and to hug him and to be there for him. And just when his daddy went home to be with the Lord, doing the very same thing for him and his family. And may I say that God does not want you to face guilt, and God does not want you to face grief, and God does not want you to face grudges by yourself. Here the Bible says that David besought God. He went to God. He went on to God and asked for help. And you don't have to travel by yourself down a lonely road dark at night. God can help you. I said this morning, he says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He says, I'm a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And there's no reason under heaven tonight why a person would have to face any type of guilt or any type of grief or any type of grudge by yourself tonight. Matter of fact, the Bible says that the elders went to his house, and they're trying to comfort. They're trying to help. They're trying to be there for him. The Bible says that even after the child went home to heaven, that these servants came on to David, and they were afraid to tell him. I believe they were afraid to tell him because they didn't want to hurt his heart. They didn't want to see that the one that was their leader to be distraught and to be hurt. They couldn't stand to bring bad news to him. But yet the Bible says that he was somebody that did not face this by himself. Now, it doesn't matter who you are tonight. You're going to go through some problems. And may I tell you tonight, you got a pastor that loves you. You have a staff that loves you. You have youth directors that love you. You have Sunday school teachers that love you. You have leaders that love you. You have parents that love you. You have friends that love you. You have people in this church that care about you. And they're not going to forsake you when you go through the hard times. And you don't have to be ashamed when you go through the hard times. You can go to somebody, and somebody can help, and somebody can love, and somebody can encourage, and somebody can be there for you, and that's a part of being a family. You see, in a church family, if you're in a church family where you feel like you're all by yourself, there's nothing encouraging about that. And by the way, don't get offended when you're walking down the hallway and somebody looks at you and your countenance is down. Don't be offended when you're walking down the hallway and your countenance is down and somebody comes up to you and says, are you okay? Don't think they're picking on you. It might be just because they care. It might be because you have found a place in their heart and they love you and they're worried about you and they're concerned about you. Get the chip off of your shoulder tonight and just understand that a church family ought to care about each other. And when you go through problems, you're not going through problems by yourself. You're not going through upheavals by yourself. Allow somebody to reach into your life and allow somebody to encourage you and help you and love you and be there for you, because that's exactly what the Bible is teaching about right here. You get down, you get discouraged, you feel like you're rejected and an outcast, and the devil gives all those things to you. But there's not one person at Parkside Baptist Church that's an outcast. Hello. There's not one person at Parkside Baptist Church that ought to feel like that nobody cares and nobody loves them and nobody's trying to help them. If you've got that type of feeling inside of your heart, you don't know the people at Parkside Baptist Church. Now, I say tonight that don't hold the guilt, the grief, and the grudges all by yourself. Statement number two, don't let the grief and the guilt and those grudges find a nesting place in your heart. Don't embrace them. Don't be somebody that likes guilt. Don't be somebody that's always walking around looking like you're grieved. Don't be somebody that's always having a chip on your shoulder waiting for somebody else to knock it off. Don't look, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. So don't be somebody that's always looking for something else. By the way, I'm telling you tonight, if you come to church looking for gold, you'll find it. If you come to church looking for a church that is less perfect than what you anticipate, you'll find it. You prepare your heart long before you walk into the door. Somebody says, "Why? Well, I tell you what, I'm going to go to another church because after all, I believe that it's perfect." I've got news for you. When you go, you've just ruined its perfection. Because you're not going to find a perfect church. You're not going to, look, there's nothing perfect this side of heaven. Nothing perfect this side of heaven. See, the Bible talks about right here how David had those that he went to. First, if you will, he went to God. He besought God. And then the elders rose up. They came to his house. The servants rose up. They came to his house. And you'll see here that we're not supposed to take the guilt, and we're not supposed to take the grief, and we're not supposed to take the grudges, and we're not supposed to be that one that tries to handle them all by yourself. You can't do it. Statement number two, I said, don't let the guilt, don't let the grief, don't let the grudges find a nesting place in your heart. Here's what the Bible says. Look at it in verse 19, 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 19. The Bible says, when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore, David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Now watch what happens here. The Bible says, then David rose from the earth and washed, and it says, anointed himself and changed his apparel and came, it says, unto the house of the Lord and whispered. Now watch it. And he came, it says, to his own house. And so here's what he's doing. He's coming out from the house of the Lord. He's coming onto his own house. And the Bible says, and when I required, he says, to set bread before me. And he did eat. Now, why was it that David was now going to eat? I'll tell you why. Because he wasn't going to let the tragedy that had just now happened in his life control the rest of his life. He was going to be somebody that was going to look at it and say, yes, it has happened. And now I can't do anything about it. And so I'm not going to let it find a resting place inside of my life. All right, so you had a flat tire. That shouldn't ruin your life forever. All right, so you have somebody, they're not going to give you a Christmas present. Well, that shouldn't ruin your life forever. Well, you know, you have somebody and you don't like them and they are going to give you a Christmas present. Well, that shouldn't ruin your life forever. Well, you got plans to go someplace during the Christmas time and it's just not going to work out. Well, there is another Christmas. It does come around once a year. Don't let that ruin your life. Well, I heard that mama's not going to bake that favorite cake that I've always liked on Christmas. Well, don't let that ruin your life. Well, I heard that this coming Christmas we're not going to have a turkey meal. Well, don't let that ruin your life. Well, I can't believe that my wife has asked me to take out the trash. Don't let that ruin your life. That's why God gave you kids. Here's what we say. Hey, don't let the guilt, don't let the grief, don't let the grudges, if you will, please, find a nesting place in you. Statement number three, think about this. Don't lose hope, but put your hope in what you have. Don't lose hope. See, here's the thing. Watch this, if you will. Here's the way people live. They're always looking back at what I could have had. Well, if it was this way. Well, if I had that, well, if only things were different, you cannot live there. Because if you're always living in the past, you will never get victory in the present, and you'll never move towards victory in the future. And by the way, everybody in here could say that. I could say, boy, I wish I would have got saved at age 15 instead of age 18. I could say, I wish I was raised in a Christian home. I wish that my dad and my mom had a great relationship. Now, I could live in all those areas. But I look at it, boy, I thank God I got saved at the age of 18. Hey, I thank God that mom and daddy got saved before they dropped off and burned in hell.
boy, thank God that I met my wife at Bible college and we got married, and now I've got three boys and a girl, and boy, God has been so good. See, you can look at it any way you want to. You can go outside tonight and say, boy, I tell you what, it's a miserable night. Or you can go outside tonight and say, thank God that I live in Texas. And thank God it's wonderful here. And thank God the weather is so nice. And if it's not nice now, it'll be nice later. And if it's not nice later, it'll be rotten later. But it will change later. You can thank God for stuff like that. What I'm saying tonight, David learned a valuable lesson when it came to the guilt, when it came to the grief, when it came to the grudges. He learned that he was not supposed to lose hope in only what took place. Here's what the Bible says. Notice in your Bible in verse 21. The Bible says, and the servant said unto him, well, what thing is this that thou hast done? And the Bible says, didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive. And when the child was dead, thou arisest and eat bread? I said, we don't understand this. Here you fasted and prayed and fasted and prayed and fasted and prayed. And now all of a sudden the child's dead. Now you're going to rise up and go eat? That doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense to the person that wants to sit around and feel the guilt. It doesn't make any sense to the person that wants to sit around and grieve all the time. It doesn't make any sense to the person that says, I'm going to get even. I'm going to hold a grudge. But it makes sense to somebody that's not just going to sit down and die. Watch this, if you will. The Bible says in verse 22, and he said, while the child was yet alive, he said, I fasted and wept. He said, now watch what he says here. He says, for I said, who could tell whether God would be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. He said, there's no reason for me to be distraught over this. I can't do anything about it. And by the way, wouldn't it be nice for us to learn a lesson tonight that if you can't do anything about it, take your hands off. If God has a will for you that's uncomfortable, and for some strange reason, we have adopted a philosophy that the will of God has to always be comfortable, always be pleasurable, always be nice. And I think that that's a Western philosophy. And don't get mad at me tonight, but if you do, get over it, please. Don't go home with the guilt. Don't get a grudge. But in our Western society, we want everything our way. It might not ever be your way. Have you ever thought about that? Okay, watch this. Here's somebody who surrenders to be a missionary. They go to Cambodia. They think, man, I'm going to go over there and I'm going to be the hero of missionaries. They got this thing painted in their mind, glamour, fame, prestige. And they get over there and God touches their heart to go out to a village and there's no running water. They're going to sleep on dirt. They're going to eat dry fish and rice. Then all of a sudden the wife begins to whine and says, well, wait a minute. You don't understand. I didn't know it was going to be this way. But the will of God's not based on comfort. The will of God's not. People, are you listening to me? Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to go to Lone Star Baptist College as long as it's easy. I'm going to go to Lone Star Baptist College as long as I have a personality and the teacher that I totally agree with. I'm going to go to Lone Star Baptist College until the bill comes due. Wait a minute. You know what people have to decide? Here's what people have to decide in every dimension of life is, what is the will of God? Hey, if the will of God is Parkside Baptist Church or the will of God is Lone Star Baptist College, then let it be. You know, what is the will of God for your life? Amen. You didn't look at your wife and say, well, I do until you can't cook. I want you to know that until death do us part, but the exceptional clause on that is till we have our first argument. Till we have our first disagreement. Come on. No, it's till death do you part. Now, wait a minute. Here's what the Bible is talking about. David, he didn't lose hope. He said, look, I'll tell you, here's what I did. He said, I did fast and I did pray, but it wasn't in my hands that God sought to do something different. He didn't get mad at God. He didn't get bitter at God. He didn't get mad at the elders that was in the city. He didn't get mad at the servants. He said, God, this is what you gave me. I'm going to rise up. I'm going to be happy about it. I'm going to go eat something. That's pretty good. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just put everything in God's hand? Everything in God's hand. Instead of you getting mad at your parents when your parents lay down a rule, why don't you say, God, wait a minute, I understand. That's my parents. You knew who I needed when I was birthed into this family. I have so many kids, they say, well, I tell you, if I had a different dad, if you had a different dad, God would work on his heart to be to you just like God's worked on your present father to be to you. Because you need that in your life. Well, if I only had a mom that was more like so-and-so's mom. But if so-and-so became your mom, God would change so-and-so to meet your need. You see, God knows exactly what you need. God is not going to be somebody that's going to say, well, I'll tell you what, it's going to be smooth all the time. I'm telling you tonight, it might not be smooth all the time. God might give you some roughness in your life. Why? Because that roughness in your life is exactly what you need. Here's what David did. David did not lose hope. David understood that he was going to trust the only one that could give him hope. So what did he do? He put his trust in the Lord God. He decided that he was going to go to God and let God be the one that was going to be the ultimate one to be able to give that trust to. And as we put our hands in God's hand, if you will, as we decide that we're going to go to God and let God do the mighty work that only God can do, then we can trust him for more. Watch this. So here's what David did. David said, I'm not going to trust in the hope that I've got that is present. But he looked out to a future hope. Oh, come on. How many of you have ever done this? Don't raise your hand. Something grievous hits you. You've gone through the process. You sat down. You mourned. You wept. Come on. I remember when John and Hannah came to me and they said, preacher, we want you to pray with us about this. By the way, very, very good. They did it the right way, weren't arrogant, but they came in and said, hey, preacher, would you pray with us about this? Let's take several weeks and just pray on it together. Great. So we sat down and we prayed about it. It was good. I mean, it was just good. We sat down and we prayed about it. Boy, it was just good. I had peace, they had peace, and then God led them to go help Dr. May. By the way, even though they knew it was the will of God, I knew it was the will of God, I wept. Man, I'm telling you, I just wept. I remember walking down the hallway, and I think it was during that time, Mrs. Bryant, that you saw me walking down the hallway. And I was walking into my office, and she asked me, she said, can I speak to you? I said, no, not now. Now, that's not me. I'm always speaking to people. I mean, if you don't speak to me, I'm speaking to you. There's something about loving people that you can't take the personality out of the man. I said, no, not yet. I went to my office, wept. Hey, are you listening to me? Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that what takes place is this. After a while, here's what you do. You sit down and you grieve and you weep and something hurts, even though you may know it's the will of God. But then God moves in and God raises you up. Sometimes he uses people. Sometimes he uses people. Sometimes somebody come along, pat you on the back and say, hey, are you okay? And sometimes you just need that. Did you know God sends people in your life, and sometimes they don't know how. These elders, these servants, they didn't know how to approach David. They were afraid to go to David. David was hurting so bad, they didn't know how to touch him. They didn't know how to explain anything to him. All they wanted to do was to help him, but they didn't know what to do. And so they just appeared. Years ago, 18-year-old girl got in a car wreck. This is up in the Maryland area. She got in a car wreck. One of the guys that was from North Carolina High School, I never will forget it. Her name was Peggy. She was in my graduating class. She got in a car wreck. I never will forget that one of the guys, you know, we had a close high school. And, you know, I mean, it was just, our graduating class was tight. And I'll never forget one of the guys by the name of Donald Piercy. Donald went over and he said, I had to go to the house. I said, what'd you do? He said, I did nothing. He said, I didn't know what to say. I said, what happened? He said, the parents were standing outside beside the car. I went up to them, didn't know what to say. I just started crying. I went over. He said, I hugged the mom. I hugged the dad. And I just got in my truck and drove away. He came to our Bible club that we had, and later on brought a note that was from the mom and dad. Said, thank you for coming by. Needed the hug. Didn't need any words. The hug made the difference. Hey, sometimes just walking into somebody's presence. Come on. Now I'm talking to our church family tonight. But sometimes just walking into somebody's presence makes the difference. You see, that's what was happening in David's life. David now is facing something in his life that's breaking his heart. And now all of a sudden the elders rise up, they come. All of a sudden the servants rise up, they come. They don't know what to say. They have no idea what to say. Then they begin to question David, and they said, well, David, we don't understand this. When the baby was sick, you fasted. When the baby was sick, you prayed. Now the baby is dead. Why aren't you fasting anymore? Why aren't you praying? Why does it seem like you're not even mourning anymore? He said, because now the baby is gone. The grieving process is over. I can't do anything about it. See, you all go through that from time to time. You'll all go through the time of grieving. You'll all go through the time, if you will please, of a time of disparity. And then all of a sudden, God will come and God will raise you. But God is the only one that can do that. The servants, they didn't understand that. All the servants understood is here's a man that we love and he's hurting. And so we're going to do the best that we can. And now he's doing something we don't even understand. Why is he getting up and washing himself and going down to the house to eat? We don't understand that. And David understood it because his hope was not in the trial of the present or of the past, but his hope was in the future, and his hope was in the God that could take and salvage and help and love and control. And that's what we have to do when grief comes, when problems come. You turn to the Lord God and let God help you. And God can do that. Oh, but don't stop there. Watch this, and I'm done. Notice in your Bible, we're in 2 Samuel chapter 12. The Bible talks about how David did something else. Look at in verse 24, last verse. The Bible says, and David comforted Bathsheba, his wife. So here's what he did. All this time, he's grieving. All this time he's praying because, as he said in the Bible, as you see what he said, I fasted and I prayed because God might. And by the way, God is the only one that does control. He said, I didn't know what God was going to do, but God might. God might change it. So he said, I prayed and I begged and I prayed and I begged and I fasted and I prayed and I begged. He said, but God sought not to do it. Now watch, when David did not get his way, his wish, or his prayer answered, He gave it to God. Get it? He gave it to God. When he put himself in God's hands, that's when the peace came. That's when the peace came. You said, well, I really believe this is the will of God. I really believe it's the will of God. I believe it. I believe it just as much as I'm breathing. Okay, what if your belief is wrong? What if your belief is wrong? What if you have an aggressiveness inside of your heart that says, I believe it, I believe it, I believe it. But you have believed other things that was wrong too. What if your belief is wrong? Can I ask you something? Wasn't there a time when Paul wanted to go, I think it was to Athens? Was it Athens? It was. Okay, he's thinking. He wanted to go down to preach, and the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, forbade him. I mean, here he is. What's wrong with going to preach the gospel? I mean, God does say, go all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And Paul believed it so firmly, he wanted to go, he wanted to go, he wanted to go. And the Holy Ghost said, no, you're not going there. Now, wait a minute, because the Holy Ghost said, no, not to go. Paul didn't get bitter. He didn't get mad. He didn't get a grudge. You know what he did? He said, okay, no problem. Are you listening to me? Here's David. David said, God, that's my son. That's my child. God, don't take my son. God, don't do that. Please don't do that. He prayed and he fasted and he begged God and he said, God, please give me my son. Keep my son alive. God, keep him, if you would, please, with me. Don't let him go. Then God said, not my will. I'm going to take your son. When he took the son, David didn't get bitter. You know what that's called? It's called total surrender. That's what it's called. David didn't get bitter. David didn't get mad. David didn't shake his fist at God. David didn't walk around feeling guilty. Here's what he did. He said, well, God took him. I'm going to go wash. I'm going to go clean myself up. I've been fasting for days. I'm going to go eat. Well, David, you should be mourning. No, I did that before. Now I've got to look at what I've got right here. See, David's hope was not in his will. David's hope was totally wrapped up in his will. Come on. And when we put our hope in his will, then our hope, our will, doesn't matter. All I am is a bondservant. Doesn't matter. God, put me where you want to put me. I'll do my best. You got me at Parkside Baptist Church? Hey, I'll do my best. You got me as a Sunday school teacher at Parkside Baptist Church, youth director, Parkside Baptist Church. I'm going to do my best. Because it's not my will that I'm promoting. I'm not promoting how good I am. I'm promoting how good you are. And so I put my total will, my total being in the hand of the one that should be in control anyway. And so I step out and say, God, it's not my will. It's not, I don't have any desires in this. My desire is walking and pleasing you every single step of the way. I walk and I please you every single step of the way. And you're shining a lamp onto my feet. You're showing me the light onto my path. And God, I have one responsibility. That's please you today and please you today and please you today and please you today and please you today. And as I please you today, I'll be in the will of God tomorrow. Here's what he did. He had no hope in him. He had all of his hope in him. Now watch this and I'm done. Look at it if you would please in verse 24. The child is now gone. David said, here's what I'm going to do. He can't return on to me in verse 23, but I can go to him. By the way, the child, just a baby died. When a baby dies before the time of understanding their need of Jesus Christ, understanding what sin is. The Bible teaches they're safe. They're ushered into the arms of God. David said, look, I can't bring him back to me. But he said, one day I can go to where he is. All right, now watch this, if you will. Here's what the Bible says. Look at it. Verse 24. The Bible says, and David, watch it, comforted Bathsheba, his wife. Now, the only way David could do that is if David received comfort first. So I want to help a lot of people, preacher. Then first, you better get alone with God and let God help you. You can't help anybody any deeper than you are. And you can't take anybody any higher than you are. You can't grow people or stretch people any wider than you are. So what do you do? When problems come, you learn the lessons God has for you. You go deep. You let God teach you. Now somebody else goes through it. You can comfort them. I was preaching in our college chapel this past week. And I said, one thing I learned from Dr. Hiles many years ago is you live by section. You live your life incrementally as it's dished out to you. So there's some people come to my office, and come to my office, they say, preacher, just wanted to have a meeting with you, just to spend time with you. I thought I'd bring you a couple of jokes just to lighten your load. And honestly, they'll make an appointment. They come in. They read me their three or four jokes. We laugh together. I say, what's on your heart? They said, nothing. Just wanted to level my preacher. I say, that's great. Thank you so much. I have other people. They come in, and they just say, got something I'm praying about? Would you pray with me about it? That's great. Other people come in, and they say, boy, I've got a load. Would you help me? They start crying, and I'll cry with them. Now, it would not be appropriate that all of a sudden when somebody comes in with a burden and they're crying, that I remember one of the funny jokes. And I'm a little bit late. So they're sharing a burden and, oh, you know, my marriage is falling apart and my kids are going to the dogs and I don't know what to do. And I remember the ha-ha. It's not an appropriate time. You know, as we're growing in love more and more with each other, and as we're growing as a church family, here's what I'm finding out. I'm finding out that when I preach in chapel, it's time to preach. When I preach in the academies, we have two academies. When I preach in the academies, it's time to preach. When it's time to divide up and go soul winning, and the times that I go soul winning throughout the week, it's time to go. When it's time to study, it's time to study. When it's time to get on my knees and pray for each one of you by name, then it's time to get on my knees and pray. When it's time to be able to step out, and right now I'm working in my office and redoing some things, and it's time to go out and get something that Guillermo needs in order to finish up one little part of this, and then it's time and it's to go out and do it. When it's time to spend time with the teenagers, it's time to spend time with the teenagers. When it's time to be in my Sunday school class and make Sunday school visits, then I make the Sunday school visits, and I do that. There's a time, there's a season, the Bible says, for everything. When it's time to spend time with the family and go on trips or Six Flags or be able to take and go on a bike ride or be able to sit down and play a board game or as we have family altar at night and we read the Bible together and we pray together as a family at night. And when we do things like that, I'm saying there's a time for it. And God has a time for everything. But I can't get the times mixed up. I've got to be able to divvy up the times to make sure that I can do everything that I'm supposed to do. And you're supposed to do that too. Here's what David said. He said, been there, had a desire. God didn't fulfill it. God brought me to my knees, but now he's comforting me. I'm going to get up, clean myself up, go over and get something to eat. Men question, why in the world are you doing it? You just lost your son. And he said, I did all I could. I did all I could. I fasted, I prayed, I gave myself, did all I could. So now what I got to do is I got to rise up and say, okay, I did all I could. Now I've got to come over here and trust God. And he did. And when he came over and he trusts God, now he's able to go into his wife. And the Bible says he comforted his wife. How did he comfort his wife? He comforted his wife because he just came out of the biggest trial of his life. And he was able to take the lessons he had and sit down with his dear wife and say, here's how we're going to get through. Here's how we're going to get through. Come on. Did you know that's exactly how to overcome grief? That's exactly what the Bible teaches, if you will, as how to face these things in your life and overcome the guilt and overcome those times of saying, I'm going to get even with somebody. Overcoming the grudge. It's all simply giving yourself to the Lord. And as you give yourself to the Lord, okay, you ready? I'm done. Last illustration. Promise. Dr. May was here. For some time, he was an evangelist. Come on, you represent Dr. May, if you will. Kind of go down there, if you will. Dr. May called me up before I came here. I was an evangelist traveling America. He said, would you be willing to move here a couple years, maybe take the church? I said, I'll tell you what, I'm already satisfied where I am. I know it's the will of God where I'm at. If you want me to come in a couple years to take the church, call me in a couple years. But no, I'm not going to move there. He said, okay. Call me back. God just kept working on his heart. So finally he said, look, would you be willing to come and take it now? I said, I'll come and pray. God did something. Brother May was up here at one time. I was traveling America, had a pastor, great pastor. Had a pastor. I did everything my pastor said. Pastor said to do this, I'd do it. Pastor said, would you consider this? I mean, I was very submissive to my pastor. And Brother May was submissive to God, pastor of Parkside Baptist Church. Then all of a sudden, God called Pastor Wells here. Dr. May goes into evangelism. Let me tell you about something about Brother May. When we switched places, I became Brother May's authority. He knew it. Never made a decision without his pastor's blessing. Not one time. He'd come in and say, preacher, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think? I don't want to do it if you don't want me to do it. I just want to please you. I mean, that was his life. Incredible man. And so he would say, I'm praying about doing this, thinking about doing this. Give me wisdom on this. Or no, wait a minute, watch this. Now all of a sudden, Dr. May is pastoring a church in Texas. I'm pastoring a church in Texas. And now we're walking together. He's got his own members that love him. I've got my own members that love me. He's serving God over there. I'm serving God over here. He goes through trials, tribulations. We talk. I go through some trials, some troublesome times. I call him. We talk, walking together as two separate pastors, but still loving each other. Now watch this, if you will. All of a sudden now, there's a problem that comes. When a problem comes, first off, here's what he would do. Here's what I would do. We go to God. Say, God, you give us the direction. Now, we may call somebody else for wisdom. I remember I had Dr. Robertson's phone number for years before Brother Robertson went home to be with the Lord. Had his home phone. I still got it on my phone. But his home phone number, and I called Dr. Robertson up, and I say, I'm getting ready to make a decision. I'm not really sure which way to go. What do you think? I'd call Dr. Hatch up. Brother Hatch and I traveled together for many years. Love Brother Hatch. And I'd call Brother Hatch up. I said, Brother Hatch, I'm getting ready to make a decision. What do you think? My dear friend Jeff Owens. I called Brother Owens up. He and I are the same age. I know he listens to this, but he still looks older than me. But I called Brother Owens up, and I say, look, getting ready to make a decision. What do you think? Dr. Bob Gray Sr., I'd call him up, say, what do you think? So I had different people that was in my cabinet of wisdom men. But if they said something, and my pastor, Pastor Decker, would tell me to do something, I'd always listen to my pastor. Because I knew that's where God had me. Now, wait a minute, watch this, if you will. Thank you, be seated. And so what takes place is we understand that God works through people to help. That's what God does. And God will take and give you the comfort, and God will give you the strength. And that's what church is all about. Okay, so you've got only one pastor, but I tell you, we've got staff that loves you. We've got Sunday school teachers that love you. Don't discount them. Don't look at the youth director and say, well, I just don't think they care. They didn't care. They wouldn't be here. They wouldn't put up with you. But because they do care, that's why they reach in to be able to help. I'm saying David went through a grievous time, went through a hard time, got through the hard time, washed himself, went down to the food house, got something to eat. Men questioned it. He said, wait a minute, I'll be able to go to him. He won't be able to come back. Can't do anything. I accept the will of God. And so therefore, I'm going to go in now and I'm going to comfort my wife. When you comfort the wife, listen to me, things change. Things change. When you go home and bellyache to your wife, things, come here, honey, real quick. You got to be a part. This is part of the closing illustration. Here it is. Section 72, part 3. Here we go. See, Ashley, she hasn't aged a bit. Here we go. Okay, watch this. Here we go. So when we go through trials, we go through them together. Watch this. But I realize she's an emotional creature. I'm not as emotional as she is. She's a lady. I don't even take things the way she takes them. She's a lady. So I've got a responsibility as a husband to protect her emotions. So if I go home and say, oh, let me tell you about that member. Ha! When she comes to church, in her heart, she said, well, I can't pray for them because they're trying to hurt my husband. I don't even like them. Hello? I don't want to get close to them because after all, they attacked my husband. Now, thank God none of you are attacking me. Appreciate it. You don't want the vengeance of a Mrs. Wells. But now, wait a minute, okay? But what I do is I protect her. In the ministry, I've been very careful. There's been some times, I remember in the ministry, there's been some times where I just didn't tell my wife everything. Just wasn't wise. Now, if something was going to happen, I'd tell her because I didn't want her to get hurt. But I'd tell her tender. And by the way, you fellas need to be more tender with your wives. Come on. You don't go home and say, ha! Let's fight! Don't do that. Man, you go home, get her by the hand, you love on her, you get sugar. Yeah. You be tender. Why? Because that's what she needs. Boy, you're quiet. But that's what she needs. She needs somebody that's going to be everything that she needs in her life. Come on. Look, I don't expect her to work the long, hard hours I work. Don't expect it. Thank you. Years ago, when we're getting ready to get married, she said, you know, we talked about this earlier, but she said, I need to tell you something. She said, I got a hole in my heart. I said, that's nothing. I've got a hole in my head. She said, no, really, I got a hole in my heart. She said, so I get tired easy. She said, I just don't have the endurance of other people. So I wear out. And I said, well, okay, I understand. She said, well, doctor doesn't think that maybe we'd ever be able to have children. You probably need to know that. And we got married. Man, we started praying. God started working on her heart, my heart. Hey, we need to have children. We went to God, had peace about it. Doctor was saying, you know, might not be the wisest thing to do. Now that we have them, we agree. But the doctor said might not be the wisest thing to do. But we prayed, we had peace. And so we said, okay, we're just going to leave it up to God. But oh, we'd really like to have children. Had the first name picked out. It was going to be great. Rebecca Joy. Great. Had it all picked out. Rebecca Joy. And Jonathan shows up. Man, just ruined everything. I figured I couldn't give him much, and so I gave him my middle name. I gave his middle name as my first name. His middle name is Michael. So it's Jonathan Michael Wells. Oh, we prayed again. Said, look, God was good to us. She made it through. I mean, God was good to us, you know. And so we prayed again and said, God, we'd really like to have another one. The doctor said, you made it through. It's probably okay. And so we prayed, had more confidence because, I mean, after all, the doctor said, you know, hey. And so we prayed. We thought, man, we're going to have a girl now. God's going to give us a boy and a girl. We're going to call her Rebecca Joy. And Joshua showed up. So said, you know, I'm going to be a preacher. Don't know if I can give them much in the future. They're going to have to earn their own way. But I can give them my name. So we called him Joshua Michael Wells. And we said, okay, you know, maybe God. I mean, we're just going to, Rebecca's joy, she's going to come eventually. So let's just pray. Let's just pray. So we prayed. And we thought God was going to give us a little girl, Rebecca Joy. Jared showed up. Said, God, we're running out of J's. Didn't think we were going to have much money to give. Again, being a preacher, etc. And so we called him Jared Michael Wells. That came in handy later because we want them all at the same time. We just call Michael and they show up. We prayed, said, God, you know, we'll keep going. I mean, we found out there was probably, oh, I don't know, 2,000 J's in the names out there. And so, but God, we'd really like to have a little girl. We'll call her Rebecca Joy. Rebecca Michael Wells. Rebecca Joy Wells. So we prayed. And Rebecca finally came on the scene. All right, now wait a minute. Good health. God's blessed. I'm saying this. I'm saying when you rest in the Lord, God gives that peace. God is the one that can come through.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. Or if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you come visit our church.